What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, July 16th, 2019. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Jacob Decker from GameSpot. Yay!
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. This is a dream come true.
A dream come true.
A dream come true.
Jacob, you got a dream bigger.
I know, right?
Tell me about yourself. What do you do at GameSpot?
I'm a video producer, so all the videos you see on GameSpot, YouTube, well, not all of them, but
no,
many
all of them.
Them.
Take credit for it. It's fine.
All right. All of them are mine. I've made all
you.
Of them.
Thank
even
you
if,
very much.
Even if it's someone else's voice.
Sure.
I probably, no,
perfect.
I'm just kidding.
but
yeah, I cover lots of big games at GameSpot, usually on the video side. Right
sure.
now, I am in the middle of covering Fire Emblem, which I know a lot of people are very excited about.
Yeah.
Can't say too much on that other than like the first 10 hours or so.
But, how are the first 10 hours? Tim previewed him on GamesCast recently.
I love it.
Really?
Yeah,
okay, great.
I'm having an excellent time. I'm a big, well, I'm hesitant to say fan of the series because the fan base for that game is
ardent.
Yeah. If you get something wrong, they're going to call you out.
Sure.
And they're going to call you out loudly and overwhelmingly.
Yeah.
But no, I think it's great as an intense admirer of the Fire Emblem.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah, that's what Tim was talking about, right? He, in his GamesCast, not review, even preview of it, it was like, he was a bit, he likes it, but taken aback by it because it wasn't traditional Fire Emblem, mm-hmm. right? They've made so many changes to like battle and stuff like that.
Yeah, totally. And what's most interesting or exciting is how different everyone's game is going to look, right? Depending on which house you pick, depending on which characters you want to recruit, depending on how you want to train them, can affect it. So like, my series of heroes and students are going to look completely different from yours. Like, sure, we might have some of the same characters, but like my Edelgard is one of the characters. Maybe she's an axe bearer in my game and like a wyvern rider in your game or something like that, which is
Tim,
cool.
Tim was describing as what Game of Thrones meets Harry Potter meets Fire Emblem. I was like, that sounds kind of cool.
Yeah,
like, that does
I'd
sound like something
so.
I want to get
into.
Yeah. Awesome. All right, great. How long you been there?
4 years.
How'd you get there?
Well, I was an intern. I started out as an intern, but before that, I was, you know, doing podcasts, writing for a small gaming website.
Sure.
I was actually listening to Podcast Beyond, and I'd hear you talk about
that.
You just got to start doing it now.
Yeah, you got to, man, right?
And that's what I did. So I started doing it and got lucky. Tyroot interviewed me at GameSpot.
Yeah.
Hired me. And Neha, of course.
Of course, yeah.
And then I was an intern, and I was supposed to go to school in LA, where I'm from, but I got that internship and I was like, I should probably readjust what I want to do. Maybe if I like switch to San Francisco State, I can remind people like, hey, I'm still here if you need work.
Yeah.
So I did that. And sure enough, they were like, hey, actually, yeah, if you're here, we could use some more help. And I've been there ever since.
Did you complete school or you say?
I finished school. I did both at the same time, which I don't recommend.
No, I don't. That doesn't sound like fun at all. No. Yeah.
I was fortunate because I had done most of it beforehand at a community college. So A, I didn't owe a lot of money, and B, like most of it was done.
Yeah.
But still, like some of those days and nights were rough.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Has it sunk in then that you've made it? You've done your, you did it. You accomplished it. You lived the dream. You
Not
listen
quite.
To Podcast Beyond and now you work at GameSpot. There you go.
Not quite, but you know, maybe one day.
Okay, fine. Maybe it'll
happen
today.
Gotta keep hustling.
Exactly. No, out there pounding the pavement. Isn't that right, Barrett?
Pound that pavement.
Exactly. That's what I like to hear. Today, we're going to talk about Borderlands 3 crossplay, Ubisoft response to the hit record concerns, and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, patreon.com/kindafunnygames, with your questions, comments, concerns, everything under the video game sun. Then tune in, watch us record it live, twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screwed up. And then we can set the record straight. For everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. The Lego Podcast Studio, based on the Kinda Funny Podcast Studio, needs your help. Go to kindafunny.com/Lego and vote. Kebabs made it, of course. Everybody knows kebabs. We need to get 10,000 votes for it. We already have more than 1,000, so we're well on our way. We have plenty of time, but you need to go do it. You need to sign up. It takes 2 seconds. Let's get the Kinda Funny Podcast immortalized as a Lego. Then remember, I'm hosting the Hall H Marvel Games panel at Comic-Con this Thursday, 1:30 p.m. Then remember, on Monday, July 22nd at 4 p.m., I'm getting my 100th platinum right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Colton Yoder, Blackjack, and Mohammed Mohammed. Today, we're brought to you by Quip and 23andMe, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Four items on the Roper Report.
Up it goes. best dozen.
Look at that. You're doing a Roper Report with me, huh? And you listen to Podcast Beyond, huh?
Yep.
Stupid Clements. Remember him? God,
no.
Crazy. All the time. You don't, Barrett?
No.
You're that much of a fake Podcast Beyond fan?
I mean, that's how new gen I am, man.
Damn.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think I started after Clement.
Damn. Yeah. God, I'm old.
I'm with Barrett.
who was on your first? It was me, Colin. Who was on your
Goldfarb.
First? God.
Yeah,
he definitely sucks. God, the hot crew. Anyways, Borderlands 3, is it going to have crossplay? This is Eddie from GameSpot. Of course, there's a new trailer that dropped today, but yesterday there was a whole bunch of the invites being sent around for a celebration of togetherness, which I got, looked at, and said, oh, okay, and threw away and didn't think twice about it. Everybody on the internet, though, apparently jumped to conclusions, or they jumped to conclusions, Matt, that this meant crossplay. Crossplay was coming to Borderlands 3. That is not what happened. It was just a trailer today. Eddie's report goes like this, jumping into Randy Pitchford, of course, CEO of Gearbox, having some tweets. Some folks may be speculating that this thing tomorrow may be about crossplay. Tomorrow's thing is awesome, but not about crossplay. But good news, we are committed to supporting crossplay for Borderlands 3 with our partners as soon as practical after launch. Hashtag talk later. Back to Eddie. Pitchford went on to confirm outright that Borderlands 3 has no crossplay at launch, though conversations are ongoing about making this a reality. Quote, to be clear, there will not be any crossplay functionality in Borderlands 3 at launch as we work closely with our partners to create a positive crossplay experience as soon as practical, he said. We are committed to crossplay on as many platforms as possible. According to Pitchford, Borderlands 3 publisher 2K Games makes all the decisions about platform partnerships, and this would presumably include crossplay. Quote, myself and the team at Gearbox have a very keen interest in cross-platform play, Pitchford said back in April. Jacob? This is the problem. Pandora's box has been open. You know what I mean? When it was just these little games, these little free-to-play Fortnites, whatever. Rocket League, whatever.
Yeah.
Now, then Activision had to come in and be like, you know what? Call of Duty, bam, who cares? It's crossplay. Now it's a question for everybody. What, do you think this is actually going to happen for Borderlands 3?
I hope so. I think it's good that all these studios are putting, and studios and publishers are putting pressure on the platform holders to do this, because it's something at this point that I feel like should just be a thing.
Yeah.
I get why it's not, though, but still, like, make us happy.
Well, that's the thing now is, like, I don't know anymore where the responsibility lies.
Mm-hmm.
So for Activision to have it crossplay for Modern Warfare, that to me makes it seem like, okay, cool, like, the gates are open? Like, it seems like, okay, like, even PlayStation's beta program has been quietly not mentioned much in terms of they just are doing it, it seems, with so many different people. So the question then becomes, so who's... Not to blame, because that's such a shitty way to say it, but whose responsibility is this? And then also, what are the realistic network realities of this? Borderlands 3 has been a game in development for quite some time. Like, if you didn't plan at that from an early onset stage of, we're going to be able to cross-platform this one day, is that something that's easy to switch and flip and do whatever now? Does 2K care about that? Where does that all go?
Yeah, and like, I think the big question too is, like, just because it's cross-play, right? How do you know you're playing with someone on a different... like? I you can't start like a PlayStation party, right? And invite someone from Xbox. That's not going to work. So is crossplay just, hey, that guy I killed or played with may have been playing on a different console than I have, but I mean, maybe game chat. Game chat's the way I guess you'd connect, but
yeah, I think you'd have to use Discord, right? You'd have to be some third party thing, because traditionally, kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, Borderlands doesn't have an in-game chat of its own, right? It doesn't have its own chat client. So like, what you're saying is that, if you and me partnered up on PlayStation and we were in a PlayStation party, then from in-game we'd have to invite Barrett on Xbox One, but Barrett wouldn't be able to talk to us in the party. Like, these are all such little headaches. And I also do think that, as it's been brought up before, I think there's very specialty use cases in this where it's not something the mainstream would care about. But if the doors are open, there are those instances, right, of there's going to be a party of three on Xbox that wants to play with somebody on PC, and it'd be great if they could make that happen.
Yeah.
But like you said, I mean, it's the same thing you've seen with Fortnite and Rocket League, right, of like, okay, cool, in particular with Fortnite, we're going to put all the, you know, you can play with everybody, sure, we're going to put the mobile and Switch people in their own little categories. Mm-hmm. And if you want to bring them in, great, but they're going to have a different, it's not going to be the optimal experience, because it is, even if we're going to jump into Borderlands and all of us play together and you're on PC, right, you're going to have a, you know, more accuracy, a better experience, better frame rate than we're going to have.
Yeah, that's the other side of it, right? Like, I don't want to be playing Fortnite with someone on PC. I don't want to be playing a shooter with someone on PC. I guess co-op, like Borderlands is more co-op focused.
Right.
So that you can kind of get away with that, right?
Yeah.
But like, I play a lot of Rainbow Six Siege on PC, so the day they introduce crossplay to that, I'm going to be stoked. They never will, but you know,
you're
like,
just going
to
go in and clean up.
If I'm playing on console on Siege and they add crossplay, like, I would stop playing Siege altogether if I was on console, because you just wouldn't stand a chance.
Yeah. Well, they do enough lobbying and stuff, and that's, again, where I think it just comes down to, hey, this is an option for you to get together and play with friends. It's not going to be the best way to do it, but if you want to play it that way. But that's the whole thing of, like, there's such a, not breakdown, but a legitimate conversation that's happening right now between who has ownership of the experience, whether it be you, the player, whether it be me in this scenario, the publisher developer. And I think Assassin's Creed Odyssey and the story mode is another great example of that right now. Cool. Mm-hmm. Go make whatever storylines you want. Cool. I made a storyline where you got a million XP and one. Okay, wait, hold on. Let's stop. And it's like, well, why do you care? Like, I want to use your tool for this in a single player game. And then it only looks bad when Ubisoft's like, I'm going to ban all those things and take them down. But you sell an XP booster. Is that why? Like, why are you doing it? Like, why break it down like that?
That makes it more complicated, right?
Yeah. And so it does get into that case, though, in the world we live in, I think, of YouTube and Twitter and social media and everybody having a voice, that it is, okay, cool. You know what? We're Borderlands, and we're going to let you partner up with PC people. And then it is you and me playing on consoles, playing with somebody on PC, and the PC people are just getting all the kills and doing all the stuff. And I'm like, I go to Twitter, and I'm like, this fucking sucks. It sucks playing with people. And then it gets boiled down to not that. My experience that I chose to have with a PC player sucks. It's Borderlands sucks. And that's the weird thing everybody's got to, I think, figure out on how they want to do this.
Yeah.
The messaging's so real.
Yeah. I think, too, in terms of, like the, I'm curious to see what, this is kind of going off on a tangent, but I'm curious to see what PlayStation 5 and Xbox One do, or Xbox whatever Two. Do, in terms of their, like, next gen. Like, I wonder if that's something they're thinking about with all this pressure from crossplay, if maybe they should build a system that the two can kind of interact a little. I don't think that'll happen, but, like, still, wasn't Sony was working with Microsoft to work on cloud servers and
using
stuff like that.
They're using Microsoft servers and stuff.
I can't see it happening, but in the back of my mind, I'm like, oh, maybe that's a next generation thing that could be.
Honestly, I think it's already done. The dam is broke, and now we're just waiting for the water to tumble down to us. Because this all does move in waves and cycles and years, unfortunately for us, in a lot of different ways. Where if you, and I'm not even trying to say Borderlands isn't this, maybe they are, but if you aren't, if you've built your game in a way that isn't easy to pivot, well, you know, the train's out of the station, you can't stop it. But I feel, you know, the way consoles were handled this generation, especially PlayStation, of just being like, we're a souped up PC, that already makes it that they can communicate with each other. It's just trying to figure out how you want to do that. And it really does feel like it's in developers' hands now.
Do you remember that story? I think when Fortnite, someone like accidentally flipped the switch or whatever, and then PlayStation and Xbox are playing together, and they're like, oh, wait, we accidentally did this, and they closed it, and it's like, oh, wait, no, this is supposed to be this thing that's really hard to do. And they're like, well, we kind of just did it on accident.
That's why accidentally I give really big air quotes to you. I really do feel like that was a move by Epic of like, fuck it.
Yeah.
This is
leave it for a couple hours.
You're making it into something it's not. We're showing you we can do it. Because Rocket League, you know, Jeremy Dunham, former Podcast Beyond founder alongside me, he was very public about saying that too, of like literally saying, no, we can flip a switch at Psyonix and make the game cross-platform. It is on PlayStation's shoulders right now. And that, I think, is one of the reasons you saw PlayStation finally back down on all this, is that they wanted to spin it into something it wasn't, where it was too complicated, or Jim Ryan saying it was all about the kids. And everybody being like, what the fuck are you talking about? You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't make any sense. And so for Epic to be like, you know what? Let's see. It's did we do that? We're sorry. Like, you know, it's
our intern.
It's so weird.
Spilled
that
his coffee on the keyboard.
We showed the world how easy this actually is, and that it is a bunch of bunk that you're trying to sell people, that it's that hard. And it's, again, that's the power of who Epic Games is right now and what Fortnite is that they don't give a shit about any of this. They're, you know, we'll launch our own store. We'll buy all these games. We'll do all these things. We'll hit the switch. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it was an accident. Maybe it was code testing and yada, yada, yada. But I don't know.
I'm with you. I don't think it was an accident.
I don't think it was an accident whatsoever, Barrett. All right?
All right, if you say so.
Spencer writes into kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and says, heads up, all the Borderlands games so far, not counting Tales, have had in-game voice chat clients. Also, UE4 games, like Fortnite, have an in-game chat no matter the platform, like PlayStation 4, phone, and Switch. Okay, so there you go. You could talk. You could do it. Number two on the Roper Report, Watch Dogs Legion has put out a Twitter response. If you remember yesterday, the lead show here, or lead story on the show, was the whole thing with Hit Record. What's going on with spec work? If they're $2,000 broken up across all these things. It's basically this competition from Ubisoft and Hit Record that people could submit music on Hit Record. Then it could maybe be featured inside of the game as one of the 10 songs in Watch Dogs Legion. This brought up a whole bunch of different concerns of working for free. Why aren't they just paying people outright? Why are they making people do spec work where, all right, cool, you do all the work and then we're going to go yes or no? Ubisoft put this up on Watch Dogs Legion's Twitter. The Watch Dogs Legion audio team worldwide is already working with professional artists and composers on more than 140 licensed songs and an original score in the game. The audio work Ubisoft is requesting from the Hit Record community to use in the upcoming sequel is meant to give them a chance to have their own creative expressions included in the game. Worth pointing out, by the way, I had seen this via IGN, clicked on the tweet. They had the giant screen. You know how the tweet's just an image and I can't copy the text?
Oh, yeah.
I copied the text from IGN's, so we went from actually being in a quote to not being in a quote. Just putting that out there. It's all the same information, but I wasn't going to credit IGN because I was just stealing their quote. But whatever. meant to give them a chance to have their own creative expressions included in the game. So, not a yes, not a no, not a we're sorry, not a whatever. Just hey. We are paying people to work in this. We are paying for real songs. We are paying composers. We are paying this different thing. This is a chance for fans to get involved. Jacob, what does this ring to you? Because yesterday, Trish, me, and Kevin were all like, we were very much like, I see both sides, but I think we did come down on more of this. This is a fan thing, right? Why is this a problem?
Yeah, I'm very much on both sides, too. I'm not really sure how to feel because on one hand, right, like if I'm a huge Beyond Good and Evil fan, so I'm very excited for I'm excited for Beyond Good and Evil 2. I'm curious to see what they do with it. But the idea of having like something I made in that game, that would be really cool.
Mm-hmm.
As a fan, I'm not talented enough to make any, like if I made a song, they'd reject it instantly.
Exactly.
But you know,
yo, it's me, Jacob, yeah. Beyond Good and Evil 2.
Exactly. But if I had the talent and the time to make something and it got chosen, I would be pretty stoked because I'm very excited for that game.
Yeah.
I've been a fan of the series. But on the other hand, too, right? It's like, yeah, the question is, what if you spend 40 hours working on a song? Probably more. I feel like it takes even longer to make songs, depending on
sure.
how deep you want to get into it. And you get denied. Like, that's pretty frustrating. But, like, you do retain the rights, right? So
yep.
even if your song does get picked, you have the rights so you can potentially use the song for other things. Like, maybe you just don't see the song as only for this.
And that's the thing they were, you know, the Hit Record people were pointing out is that, yeah, obviously you retain the rights to all your stuff. This is the one instance of they'd be paying you or do whatever. Mm-hmm. But even your stuff being on Hit Record has the opportunity then to be picked for other stuff that Hit Record people or partners or whoever are working on and get money that way.
Yes.
So it is an interesting, it's a very interesting argument. I want to read the full thing from the Watch Dogs Twitter since IGN fucked me and made me look like an idiot as usual. Over on the Twitter, the full statement, unedited, reads, "The Watch Dogs Legion audio team worldwide is already working with professional artists and composers on more than 140 licensed songs and an original score in the game. The additional contributions, no matter how large or small, from anyone within the Hit Record community are completely voluntary and are meant to give them a chance to have their own creative expressions included in the game." So again, I appreciate that this is a strong statement from them of, hey, we hear you. We don't agree with you. We hear you, Mike Bithell. We hear you, Rami. We see what you're saying. Reading between lines. This has been twisted a bit from what we actually think this is. You know, more than 140 licensed songs. We're working with composers. We're working with professional artists. This is meant to be an avenue for fans to get in the game, not Pharrell to put a song on Hit Record and get into it.
Yeah, it sounds like icing on the cake, right? Like, they already have this, 140 song, like, soundtrack built out, and this just seems like, hey, let's get the fans involved a little bit,
which I like.
Yeah,
I know, I understand that it's a slippery slope and there are a lot of different things, but I do like that. I do like the chance to be like, cool, you go home, you make the beat, your friend sings over or whatever, and you put it out there, and hopefully it gets picked or someone remixes and does something, and it is this cool organic collaboration that comes from, like you're talking about with Beyond Good and Evil fandom, comes from the Watch Dogs fandom, right? Of like, I like this game enough that I want to try to be in this thing, so I'm working with my friends on something cool enough.
Yeah,
like I get that. Yeah, that's, it'd be awesome too if it was like, I guess the difference is this. One of the things people are talking about yesterday in this whole conversation was, it'd be cooler if Ubisoft was going out listening to SoundClouds, approaching artists, doing things like that, right? That would be cool. But I also think that that's not what this is. I think this is the idea that, cool, I know Barrett makes drum beats and I have idea for lyrics, so let's meet and you collaborate on something that you're trying to make for this, that not even for me, but a fan in that community that has some musical inkling, there's no way they'd be found. There's no way you'd go find them and put them in the game.
Yeah, I guess too, the question would be is how much do they interact with these people who are making, like what if you, like, it sounds like it's a step-by-step process, right? Like, you give them something and they're like, okay, well, we like this. We're going to work with this. We're going to keep adjusting it. So it's not like you're going to spend, well, I mean, it might though, but I think ideally they're thinking that you're not going to spend 40 hours, however long, making this entire song, sending. Right. They're going to be like, okay, that's it. It's going to be, here's my idea.
Here's my rough part.
Let's work to make this better or bring this into the game. At least that's ideally, I hope that's what it would be like.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. It's tricky.
It's because since there's no clear definitions, there are the extreme cases where it is a band has made this song and has put all this time into it. It'd be cooler if somebody found their SoundCloud page and approached them, you know, to license their track.
Yeah.
But then there's this other side that you hope is, hey, I'm just a big Watch Dogs fan. I think this is a cool opportunity. Me and my friends are getting together and making something and trying to get it in.
Yeah, but what if you bounce back and forth with Ubisoft trying to figure out exactly for weeks, months, and then you have to split it between a couple people for $2,000, and it's like, I've been putting serious time and work into this.
Well, what about you? I'll turn it on you. You talked about it, how much you love it for Beyond Good and Evil 2. For you, would it have been the money, or would it have been the fact that your stuff's in the game?
It would have been the fact that my stuff's in the
game.
Right,
exactly. Yeah. And that's what Trish did yesterday, where she was like, well, let's turn around to voice acting, right? Like, if this was a voice acting thing, and it was like three lines of dialogue everybody recorded and put out there, Troy Baker wouldn't try to do that, right?
Yeah.
It would be people like us that are like, I totally want to be in the next Uncharted game or the next Last of Us, and so I just record something at home, put it out there, and hope I get one of those things. Cool.
Yeah, like, could be a good foot. Those three lines could be.
Well, for some people it would be, and it would be like akin to listening to a podcast and hearing somebody say, "Try to be a video game journalist." Yeah. Go for it. It could be that thing that that lights the spark, right? It's the same thing with the hit record Ubisoft Music. It could be the thing that somebody's like, "I'm a huge Watch Dogs fan. I love Watch Dogs to the point that I want to make. I'm going to write lyrics for a song for my friend," and then they're like, shit, I really like writing lyrics. I should do that more, right?
Yeah.
Like, those are the little nudges and little cool projects that can break out and either lead you on a way or just be something cool you do. I don't know.
It's complicated.
It is complicated.
It's complicated.
And as Avril Lavigne always said, why you got to go and make things so complicated?
Classic.
Remember that one, Barrett?
Avril Lavigne, man.
And are you too young for Avril Lavigne as well?
No, she was like one of my first crushes as a little young Barrett.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, that makes sense.
Sounds like
Barrett, how old are you?
I'm 24.
Okay, I'm a little older, but we're
in the same
26.
Age. Yeah, okay,
kids.
Yeah. Fuck you, old man.
None of you should have been listening to Podcasts Beyond. Nothing we said should have been listened to. Number three, GameStop is redesigning stores to fight back. Now, I put the fight back thing there, but to fight back about, you know, the fact that they keep losing money and not doing well. This is an official press release. GameStop today announced a strategic partnership with global innovative design firm R/GA to strengthen its focus on creating unique in-store experiences as part of its strategic move in reaffirming its place in the video game culture. The partnership with RGA's Austin and Chicago teams is part of GameStop's broader business transformation strategy to evolve its efforts in cultivating innovative, customer-centric opportunities to bring video game culture to life in every neighborhood. GameStop's renewed customer first focus stems from qualitative and quantitative research led by GameStop and RGA that identified four major motivation gaming fans have for playing video games: immersion, achievement, creativity, and community. Together, GameStop and RGA are developing and piloting new and streamlined physical store concepts, including new ways for gamers to try titles before they buy them, and giving stores a unique layout and purpose that appeal to gamers. From store concepts that offer competitive sessions in homegrown e-leagues to locations that sell strictly retro gaming software and hardware, GameStop will pilot the new store concepts in select markets to present something new to players both old and new, and searching for experiences in gaming beyond the console. I like it. This is something we've talked about before when we're talking about GameStop's falling stock prices and no one will buy them and everything's looking really, really grim, right? I think we talked briefly, I think it was me and Andrew, maybe me and Tim, about the idea that I would close a lot of the stores and I would try to make it into a community hub, right? Where it would be like akin to what I grew up with, where I'd walk into Funko Land and just kill an afternoon talking to people and playing N64 and chilling out, not necessarily there to buy something and get on my way, right? If people are ordering their games online or buying them digitally, you have to give them something that actually gets them into the store. So the e-leagues are a good idea, right? Streamlining the store so they don't look like a Funko Pop truck exploded in them would be great, because you walk in there and it's like, am I in Hot Topic or am I in GameStop? I don't know. Giving them identities is an interesting idea.
Jacob. Yeah, I mean, I like the idea of like having them an experience more so than just going to buy your games. Like, maybe you can go there, meet some people that then you can, oh, hey, we're going to get Destiny 2 or whatever. Maybe I'll get Destiny 2 and then we can exchange our PSN names or Xbox Live accounts, and then we can play together and there you go. You've gotten more than just a game from GameStop.
And that's the thing, right? It's like it's about GameStop, I think, if they want to survive, having to shed that corporate image and make their stores feel like homes, right? Where it is the idea of like, cool, the Destiny raid is dropping, right? Or whatever new content is coming. Let's do like some kind of LAN party there that people can come and watch and understand what it is. Or something shorter and do fighting game tournaments and actually make it a thing of like, come out and do this. Make it more of a community engaged thing.
Yeah, one of the things I remember doing a lot when I was younger was going to the GameStop and EB Games, like midnight launches.
Yeah,
and
oh yeah.
I know they still do those, I think, but
who knows?
That was always really cool, right?
I have my countdown clock on my PlayStation.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm like, oh, it's 9. That means it's midnight. Yeah, okay, I should be able to get it now. but yeah, I have fond memories of going to like pick up Metal Gear Solid 5 at midnight, like getting my Xbox, or Metal Gear Solid 4, not 5.
You're so young, I can't tell. Yeah, I was like, it might be true. That might be real.
Like getting my Xbox 360 at midnight, like picking up like GTA, like all that kind of stuff.
When
like
I remember waiting in line to pre-order my Wii, and it was I was sitting there with my DS playing stuff, and for some reason I did not have Mario Kart DS, and the kids next to me did, and they did
download
the,
play.
Exactly, download play, and I sat there and played for hours with them, and like, so I pre-ordered the Wii and bought Mario Kart DS right there. Yeah, it was such a great time.
I did that with the Wii as well. I was like sat in line for a couple days. I don't know if it was worth it, but it was fun.
It was fun. You know what I mean?
And like, I think the first one I did was Halo 2, right? And I remember going there at midnight and meeting all these people and like, I was talking about all the things we're going to do in Halo. It was a really cool experience.
Totally.
And now when you go, which I don't go, which I think we'll get to later.
Yeah.
But you go, it's just like, it's like, yeah, I'll get that. And they're like, well, do you want to pre-order this, 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 and this? And then do you want the strategy?
Are you part of the EG?
Yeah,
GameStop? I was saying EB.
I'm just like, no, I went here on a whim. I just want this game and then I want to leave, please.
Yeah, yeah. I walk in and I just look at all the different. That's not 100% true. One of the last things I bought at a GameStop that I remember is a dog toy. I was like, oh my God, that's Superman plush. I'll bring that home for Porty. But yeah, you said something earlier when we were running through the stories. You are currently protesting GameStop.
Not currently. Well, I am still protesting.
Been lifted? You will go inside a GameStop?
I went inside once to ask for a stylist for a, because we got Mario Maker early and I wanted a stylist to make stages, and I went in there and I was like, hey, do you guys sell styluses for the Nintendo Switch? And they're like, the Nintendo Switch doesn't need styluses. I was like, okay, but I want one for this game. I'm like, well, what game? I'm like, I can't say. I just, do you guys have
just
a stylist?
Trust me,
yeah, just trust
me.
I need a stylist.
I'm playing a game I can't tell you about.
And he's like, well, no, we don't have one. We don't sell one. I'm like, well, I mean, in the UK, if you pre-order Mario Maker, it came with a stylus. And I was like, you guys don't sell anything like that. I'm like, no. It's like, okay.
You don't have a stylus for any device in this store.
Like, now you're selling everything. Like, you sell tablets and all that stuff. No stylus. Whatever. But that's not the issue I have.
Oh, that wasn't what led to the ban.
No.
Well, real quick life hack for you. If you go to, you just walk into a W hotel, ask them for a pen, and on the other side, they have the little nub. You can use that stuff.
I should have done that.
Yeah, no problem.
Should have done that.
It's closer to your office than GameStop.
Yeah.
Can like 3DS styluses be used for Switch? I imagine so, right?
Maybe, but I'm like, yeah, I don't like the idea.
When we got Switches, we threw our 3DSs in the ocean. Yeah. We didn't need them anymore.
That's a bad idea.
Nah, I didn't need them. It's done. Dead.
No way you can play Ocarina of Time anymore.
You know? I got. What are you talking about? I can play it on my N64.
What TV do you? All right, shut up, Greg.
I just don't like the idea of hard plastic.
No, plastic on that screen? No way, please.
But no, so before Red Dead Redemption 2 was coming out, I was like, I need to get a PlayStation 4 Pro to play this because I want the game to look as good as possible. And that was all, So I went in, I was like, can I get a PlayStation 4 Pro? And they're like, I think we've got two left. And I was like, okay, perfect. So they go and grab it and they're ringing me up and power goes out as they're ringing me up. And I was like, uh-oh. And I checked my bank. Of course, it doesn't say anything. And I'm like, all right, maybe I'm safe. And I asked them, I was like, did the payment go through? And they're like, no, you're fine. I was like, okay, cool. Well, then can I still get that? And they're like, oh, yeah. The payment didn't go through, so you should be fine. We're just going to scan it for you again. And I was like, all right, I shouldn't have done this. I should have stopped here. I should have been like, you
know
what?
That's why hindsight's 2020.
So they scanned it again. Cool, got my PlayStation 4. I go home, set up my PlayStation 4 Pro. I download Red Dead, very excited to play it. And then, you know, I check my bank account. I'm like, wow, this is pretty low. Like my checking account seems a little lower than normal. It's almost as if I spent $1,000 recently when I didn't.
I love Red Dead so much, I spent $1,000.
So I went back and I was like, hey, just so you guys know, I got charged twice. And they're like, well, our system doesn't say that, so we didn't. And I was like, but here, look, I'm charged for two PS4 Pros from this location. They're like, well,
minutes apart.
They're like, well, I talked to your bank. They can probably return the money. So I went to the bank and they're like, no, they have to return the money. Like, that's up to GameStop. So I was like, okay, went back to GameStop. was like, nope, you guys have to do it. And they're like, well, we can't do it here. And I was like, well, how can I get you to do it? And they're like, well, you have to talk to our corporate office. I think it's like in Texas or something like that.
Jesus. And that's true. Like,
okay. So like we call them.
So I flew to Texas.
Yeah, flew to Texas. Kicked open the door. So I called them and I was like, hey, just so you guys know, you charged me for 2 PlayStation 4s. The power went out. It was this whole thing. Can I get my money back? And they're like, totally. We got you covered. Give it a couple days. I still don't have my money back. A couple weeks. I still have my money back. Call them again. And they're like, oh, actually, you need to talk to your bank. I was like, I've been to my bank. They told me to talk to you. So I went to the bank and again, and they were like, we can't. And they're like, well, I mean, we could like basically do some court things. And I had my dad help me out at this point. Cause he's
Whenever there's
anything that has to do with the law, he's like, oh man, I can help on this. He's not a lawyer or anything, but for some reason he thinks he is. So he's like, all right, I'm interested enough to see how this goes. So we go in and he does some things, signs some things. And he's like, all right, we should hear back from soon. Otherwise we're going to court with GameStop. And I was like, what? I didn't bargain for this. And, once they got that and they saw that there might be like legal action, they were like, oh, you're right. You know, we charge you twice. Here you go.
Power to the player. Here's your money back.
Yeah, power to the player. Here's your money. And that was it. And I haven't been back since, except for when I went to ask if they had a stylist, but they didn't. So I didn't spend any money.
You had a bad experience there too. So yeah, they didn't have it. You still got charged for 4 stylists.
Yeah, I've been meaning
out.
To get this story off my chest for so long. I've been like,
jeez, man, I can understand that. That's not good.
But yeah, Red Dead was great.
It was worth $1,000. No big deal. You know what I mean? Good experience. Number 4 on the Roper Report. Kinects are still being used, it turns out, as airport surveillance devices. This is Matt Kim at IGN. Newark Liberty International Airport has an unexpected new security system, the Xbox Kinect Motion Controller. Jason Scott, a video game historian and archivist, tweeted photos from a recent visit to the Newark International Airport that shows Kinect devices allegedly being used to monitor the crowds moving through the airport. The sensors are attached to long arms that extend out over the terminal from hanging monitor screens. The tweets from Jason Reed: TSA is now using Xbox Kinects for surveillance in the Newark airport. Good job, tech. Slow clap, Microsoft. At security, TSA security checkpoint C1. They still have the Xbox logo on them, by the way.
Okay, good. I was about to ask for a picture.
There you go, Barry. Show everybody there it is.
At least it's the 2.0, though, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's the nice. That's the one that came with the Xbox One. Right? Wow. It is. Fly United. United to take a bin from below, and there they are.
Wow.
It's one of those, yeah, it's a wow situation, but it's also, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, reduce, reuse, recycle. Like, Microsoft's got all these goddamn things laying around because nobody wanted them. Like, they got to do something with them. Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
It's a weird, funny, whatever thing, but TSA isn't protecting you anyway. They might as well be looking through a Kinect. Go through and ask for Skittles as you go. Remember the cat, Skittles.
That's what the TSA pre-check costs. This is what they're buying with those. With their.
They can have it. You don't get me wrong. I love pre-check. They're not allowed to have it. You know what I mean? Yeah. I got that. I got the clear. I'm all set. Can show up to the airport to 20 minutes after the plane takes off and I still get on.
Damn.
You got to get clear. Yeah.
I know.
Well, just give your fingerprints to this other agency. Who cares? Just give it all away. I'll give them a blood sample, a semen sample. I don't care. They're going to have it all. Jacob, I'm excited to see how personal security and the government watches us in the future. But that's still so far away. If I wanted something more immediate, like, say, what came to the mom and grop shops, where would I go?
Oh, God, I'm not on the right page.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Here we go. The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. You nailed it. Good job. You got it.
All right.
Out today, Bombfest has received a new update on Switch, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. Rockstar reports that Red Dead Online players logging in this week will receive a free horse care package, which includes a horse reviver, 2x horse medicine, 2x horse stimulants, and more useful items to keep their steed healthy. Plus, players looking to switch up their mounts can take advantage of 20% off stable spaces and horses under rank 40, like the Flaxen Rowan Tennessee Walker. Enjoy that. Do you play Red Dead Online, or were you just in it for the single player?
Just in it for the single player. I tried online, and yeah. What about you? Did you play much of it?
No. Day launched, I got in. I was like, all right, no.
Yeah. It's too much of a time sink.
Totally. Must Dash Amigos is on Xbox One. Lost Orbit Terminal Velocity is on Xbox One and PC. Distrust is on Switch. Let's Sing 2019 is on Switch and PC. Forklift The Simulation is on Switch. Barrett, can I see a trailer? You know it. I see the mouse move before I can even tell you, because you know it. Defend the Keep is on PC. Shrine of the God Ape is on PC. Atrarium is on PC and Mac. Kill Squad is on PC. The Last Aura is on PC and Mac. Mome is on PC. Nightmare Reaper is on PC. Summer Catchers is on PC. Farming comes to World Building Adventure Boundless today as well. Barrett is pulling up the trailer right now for Forklift, the simulation. And it looks like it sounds. I won't lie to you. If you thought, is it going to be me simulating using a forklift? It does look like it.
I'll bring this up, the video.
I'm at a Costco.
The sad thing is that if this was on VR, I just got an Oculus Quest. If this was on VR, I'd probably get it. I'd be like, oh, cool.
Sure,
like,
I'm driving
a forklift to VR. But
it probably is coming. I'm sure they have something like that.
It's got it, right?
Yeah, of course. New dates for you. The Enhance and the Tetris Company announced today that the ultimate version of their award-winning game Tetris Effect is coming to PC on July 23rd with optional VR support for Oculus Rift and HTC Vive, available exclusively on the Epic Store. So people will be pissed about that.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm more pissed it's not on Oculus Quest, but yeah,
I know, I'm thinking that too.
It's got to get there eventually.
Hopefully.
Eventually. Rocket League's last phase of Radical Summer launches July 22nd. It's going to feature that Knight Rider car pack. Ooh. Flashback is launching on iOS devices July 22nd. And then Tropico 6 arrives on consoles September 27th. That's PlayStation 4, Xbox One. While we're here, I should have done this earlier. Matt the Wob confirms 3DS styluses cannot be used on the Switch because the Switch uses a captive... Captive touchscreen. So you need rubber tips, like the thing from the W that you can get for free. Just walk in, say you're staying there, and you need a pen. You're fine. Yeah. Oh, and then new dates for you. There is one. I have two from Ill Grill Chill. Super Monkey Ball Banana Blitz HD is coming to PC and console in 2019. They put out a trailer while we were live. And then Resident Evil 5 and 6, previously announced for the Switch, have a release date of October 29th. So get ready for that. Now it's time for Reader Mail. But first, I'm going to tell you about our sponsors. Let's talk Quip. Packing your toiletries somehow always involves a delicate game of stacking and space hacking. And don't get us started on the lotion exploding all over our DOP kit. That's why Quip electric toothbrushes work just as well at home as they do on the go. The compact and wireless design tucks easily into the corners of your carry-on or your back pocket if you're just spending the night. Plus, the travel-ready cover protects your brush from sandy swimsuits and luggage slip-ups. And a three-month battery life that will last you through a season filled with weekend getaways. They're making it easier than ever to keep up with your wake-up and wind-down routine when you're out of the office. Of course, the Quip has a built-in two-minute timer that pulses every 30 seconds to remind you when to switch sides and help clean your mouth evenly. The multi-use cover works as a stand, mounts to mirrors, and slides over your bristles to pack and protect your Quip on the go. Brush heads are automatically delivered on the dentist recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5, a friendly reminder when it's time to refresh and stay committed to your oral health. Quip is one of the first electric toothbrushes accepted by the American Dental Association. They've backed over 25,000 dental professionals, and they have thousands of verified five-star reviews, just like mine. Everybody knows I love my Quip. I talk about it all the time. I'm packing it for Comic-Con. I'm very excited. I enjoy it. I like that they just send me the brush heads and I never have to think about it. Quip starts at just $25. And if you go to getquip.com/games right now, you can get your first refill pack for free. That's your first refill pack free at getquip.com/games. The next sponsor, 23andMe. We live in a world where we have access to data that gives us more personal insights into who we are. What's more personalized than your DNA? Now, we can turn to our genetics for personalized health traits and more. 23andMe allows you to go beyond ancestry to access more personalized insights about you based on your DNA. With more than 125 genetic reports, you can even gain insights into your health traits and more. Receiving your personalized genetic reports is just the beginning. You can take the next steps by talking to your healthcare provider or considering lifestyle changes, like adjusting your sleep habits or caffeine consumption. They have a new deep sleep report. If you've always suspected that you feel more sleepy than others after missing out on a night's sleep, you might not be imagining things. Your genes may be involved. They also have the new saturated fat and weight report. The saturated fat and weight report can tell you about how your genetics may impact your body's response to your diet. Learn if you are likely to weigh more on a diet high in saturated fat, even if you consume the same number of calories. See what your genes can say about your health traits and more. Buy your health and ancestry service kit today at 23andme.com/games. That's the number 23andme.com/games. Again, 23andme.com/games.
Nailed it.
Thank you. I felt like I crushed those. You know what I mean? I usually have to warm up to it by the end of the week, but I'm in the swing of it now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Week's just started. Well, I guess tomorrow's your...
Hey, it's my Thursday. You know what I mean? I'm almost out of here. Yeah, okay. I want to start with this. How much do you know about the Pokemon?
A lot.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you a Pokemon master like myself? I don't know if you heard. I started playing a lot of Pokemon Go on Thursday. Really big into it.
Not a master, but okay, I've dabbled with Pokemon Go quite a bit. I more play the mainline series.
This is right up your alley then, of course. And you're young too, so you probably know all about this. Of course, yesterday we talked about the whole, I brought Trish up to speed, right? And I admittedly was like, I know what Tim's told me about this. I think it's a small group of people that are mad about the bank thing and that the new Sword and Shield game won't import all the Pokemon from the jump. But is it really that big of a deal? And let me tell you, you wrote in droves to say, yeah, and when I say droves, four of you wrote in to be like, shut the fuck up, Greg. It's a big deal. So we're going to let Motto and Daniel talk. First, Motto, who wrote into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, I haven't heard you mention this. The mainline Pokemon games have had a method to continuously transfer Pokemon from a previous generation to the newer generation as far back as Generation 3, parentheses 2002 release year. This means that some players can have up to 386 different Pokemon that are pushing 18 years old now sitting in the Pokemon bank waiting to be played in the new generation. The same transfer rules apply to the other 423 Pokemon released since parentheses gens 4 through 7. Not really a question, just wanted to add some details that you may not have known about without being a lifelong fan. Then Daniel Ferreira comes off the bench. Yesterday, Greg and Tricia discussed the issue surrounding the fact that not all Pokemon will be available in the new Switch releases at the end of the year, and admitted to not truly understanding why this is such a large issue for some people. And I'd like to provide my own personal context slash story for why this is an issue for me. Picture 7-year-old me playing Pokemon Pearl on my DS Lite way back in 2006, discovering that Nintendo were holding a special event where if you took your DS to an EB Games, you could get the legendary Pokemon Arceus with some special moves. After doing this, I have since transferred this Pokemon through every subsequent 3DS game, parentheses, some 7 games according to my math, even paying the $5 subscription to use Pokemon Bank multiple times. So, when I heard the news that I would not be able to take my Pokemon companion of 13 years with me to the new Switch titles, I was upset. I do acknowledge that it is a mammoth task to bring forward the 800 plus existing Pokemon to the Switch, as this will involve new 3DS models and textures and for all of them. But, as quote, catching them all is such a huge part of the franchise, and Nintendo has made such a point in the past of allowing you to bring Pokemon forward through your games, parentheses, you could even bring forward Pokemon from the Game Boy Advance to the DS games. This is a feature that I wouldn't have minded them letting the game cook another 6 months or a year for. Hopefully, this helps provide some insight on why so many people are upset about this news as well. And as always, thank you for everything you do. Are you as mad about not being able to bring your Artreus?
Nope. I'm sorry, Daniel and Moto. I'm not as mad.
Moto's not mad, I don't think. Moto's just giving us clarity. The one getting cut deep by this one.
Yeah. I get it. Like, and the thought of transferring a Pokemon for that long, just keeping keeping Pokemon from Pokemon Red all the way through until now, that would be pretty heartbreaking. I haven't done that. I don't have any Pokemon that I've been, like, I don't use Pokemon banks. Maybe that's another reason why I'm not super concerned.
And Ill Girl Chill points out, for clarification, Pokemon Bank is a yearly subscription for $4.99, unlimited use during that time. One of the reader's comments sounded a little bit wishy-washy on it.
Yeah. So I totally get that. Like, I guess I'd be pretty annoyed too. I think the thing that, like, first of all, I think it would take a lot more than a year in order to render and create 800 plus Pokemon.
Sure.
I think that's the huge roadblock, first of all. Second of all, they said that these Pokemon aren't done. Like, they're not being canceled or they're not kicked from Pokemon. They're going to be back later. My guess, this is obviously just speculation, but I think that whatever Pokemon game comes next, they'll probably focus on getting those Pokemon that were missing and maybe using that to build a much bigger roster of Pokemon. I totally get the disappointment, though, but at the same time, I'm just excited to be playing that I'm going to be able to play these Pokemon games on a console.
It's what I was talking with Trisha yesterday, and I understand people who are hardcore Pokemon fan like you, Daniel, being upset in the moment, but it's just because there's nothing else to talk about for this game. I think when the game gets here, it's going to be not the last thing on people's mind, but they're going to go out there and play it and have fun. And also, it's this shitty situation I get of this is how it's always been, but just because it's always been that way doesn't mean it's always going to be that way. And so if this is the time they have to make that change, like, that's the time they have to make that change and things switch up. And it sucks that you've spent $5 every year since 2002 to make this happen. But this is how it is. And I don't know what the verbal contract or even the unspoken agreement was in terms of being a Pokemon fan and expecting this to always be that way. But it has to be this way this time around, and that's how it's got to be, and it sucks. I understand, but it's also like, cool. Like, catch your next fucking Pikachu and name it Teddy or whatever the hell it was from 2002, and then there you go. It's Teddy again. You know what I mean? They erase their memories, these Pokemon. I'm out there on the streets collecting them, and sometimes I'm just immediately transferring to the professor. I'm like, just fucking kill this thing and give me the candy. You know what I mean? Like, you gotta just play like me. These things are pests. I am a pest controller.
You're a fucking monster.
Why am I a monster? You know what I mean? I'm not the guy sending me out on these research quests. Like, yeah, get all these perfect throws and then get this thing and do that. Like, I don't want to kill these guys. I have to.
That's not the... okay.
Busting makes me feel good, Barrett.
It's not Ghostbusters World or whatever.
I know it isn't, because you people didn't fucking support it enough, and that's why...
The developers didn't support it enough.
If a lot of people would have played Ghostbusters World, the developers would have had a reason to support it.
What else could they add?
Harry Potter's here now.
Ghost?
It's all fucking Trace. Let's all trace this fucking line.
Yeah, because you got to do the different.
Oh my god, everybody! Look,
the
fucking the fucking wardrobe is possessed by a fucking enchanted. What the fuck is going on in that game?
I don't know.
Why am I moving mandrakes around?
I could care less if it hasn't.
You could not care less.
If it has nothing to do with the books, I don't fucking care. Some dumb shit in that game.
2038 Pokemon CEO writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. This is, how does reviewing games fit into your schedules? Say a game is 40 hours long. Do you work less, in quotes, in the IGN/GameSpot office? We talk about developers in crunch, but what about the journalists? Is it common to work full-time, then spend another 10 hours on a game to hit a deadline? I hear the Pokemon Master Greg, thank you very much. I hear from the Pokemon Master Greg, you don't play games often while you, Greg Miller, were in the IGN office. Game lengths vary, so sorry about wording this question poorly, but basically, how do you avoid burnout? What's it like at GameSpot now?
In terms of,
I got to play this game for review.
So usually we're pretty good about it. Like, if you're reviewing a game, if you're covering a game, you can get away with playing it. Like, people ask questions if you're playing a game from, you know, a couple years ago. They're like, what are you doing with this?
Or on a feature.
Yeah, exactly. That's always the question.
Whenever people are going to watch it or read this feature.
But in terms of, like, games that are out for review, games that are current, usually, you know, people are pretty good about letting us play those if we need to. I will say that a lot of times people don't have time to do that in the office, though.
Yeah.
Especially the reviewers. Usually they're editing, they're helping other writers, they're writing news stories, whatever it might be. So a lot of times that gets saved for when they go home for the weekend and then they play those games. So burnout, I'm sure, is an issue for a lot of those people.
Sure.
I don't want to speak for any of them, though. But I like... In my experience, I don't really review games. I review Pokemon Let's Go, actually, though.
Nice.
But that was a game that I didn't play much at work, and then I'd come home and I'd play at night, partly because I had to review it and partly because I was having fun with it.
Yeah.
I can't imagine having to review a game that you're not excited about, because at least on video, I have that luxury where if it's like, I'm not really interested in a game, it's like, well, someone else can cover it, or like, no one's going to be like, where's your tips video on like X game?
Yeah.
You know, like, people are going to be asking for a review, though.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I mean, at IGN, I've talked about it a lot of times. It was that case, and it depends on your personal workload. But in the old days when I first started, yeah, it was easy to play games at my desk when, you know, Roper and Dunham and everybody were clowning around. But then as you move up in the chain, right, and as I got more and more to do more responsibilities there, it got to a point where I never played games that work for review. It'd be go home and play them at night. And I think even now with Kind of Funny, that's exactly how it goes, even though we're very different, right? Mm-hmm. But it's like, you know, I'm playing a game right now for review, but I want to be able to talk about it in Gamescast, and I want to be able to say as much as I possibly can about it.
Yeah.
So it is like last night, you know, I came home, I had to watch Lion King, and then it was like, cool, I'm going to sit. I popped up the game screen while Jen and Lucy watched Mindhunter, and I was just playing that game nonstop. And, like, you know, Jen's like, I'm going to bed. I was like, all right, see you later. And I'm going to keep playing this for another couple hours. And it is that spinning plates. But again, we're different, and we're way more like you of, cool, I'm playing this game because I want to play this game. I'm interested in this game. I want to be able to talk about this game. I'm not forcing myself to play everything like I had to in the old days.
But I think Fire Emblem right now that I'm playing is a pretty good example, because that is an 80-hour long RPG, and that's only one house. So if you want to play other ones, I think, like, there was a story, I think it was Game Informer or something, said 250 hours if you want to do all of them, which is absurd. I'm probably not going to do that. But still, an 80-hour game to try to do that, and however long... you can't just save that for after work, right?
No, so that's
something
that's the thing.
You have to kind of chip away at.
When those games come out, or back in my day at IGN, when those kind of games would come out, people would be sequestered, where it would be like, cool, I'm not coming. I remember Charles Onyet all the time for, like, Skyrim. I'm not coming in. I'm just playing this from there.
Yeah.
And when Steimer did Fallout New Vegas, like, that's all she did. Like, it was like, I'm not doing podcasts. I'm not going to meetings. I'm just doing this, or I'm not coming to the office.
Yeah, I know Callie for Red Dead just pretty much stayed home that whole week because that game was like 60 hours long.
Totally.
So, it's...
Everybody does it differently, yeah, right? And it's also how much time you have with a game, you know, what kind of deadline or embargo you're trying to hit.
Yeah.
It's a pain. But similar, how do you avoid burnout? You usually play the games you're interested in, right? You're going to play this anyway, and so it's still the treat. It's still awesome to have this early. It's still the dream to be able to go off and play this.
Yeah, exactly. And like the games that I'm not super interested in, I try not to play outside of work, right? Like when I get home and I want to play a game, like I'll play something that I'm into, something I can play with friends. I'm not going to bring home, I don't know, I don't want to name any game,
shit
but talk. Yeah, exactly. Like if I'm like playing a game that I'm not into for you know, to help cut a review, I'm not going to take that home and play more unless it's something I'm really into.
Final question of the day goes to BJ Bernardo. He wrote in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. It says, "Hi y'all. Now that what's her name's who's her face is leaving kind of funny." I'm talking about Andrea. It's Andrea. I love Andrea. I'm joking around. I got a behind the curtain inside baseball kind of question. How do you choose your part-timers? What kind of things do you think about when looking for the right person? Then he goes on to name a million different names and ends with, "What about Kevin's hot little brother Spencer?" Jesus. I don't know. I'm comfortable enough with that. No, is he 18 yet?
Yeah.
Okay,
he's
fine. I'm comfortable. Okay.
He's Kevin's hot little brother.
Is he?
Yeah.
Is that real?
It was a comment in KFAF where he showed up for the 48K club, and he's in a shot, and then a YouTube comment was like, "Yo, Kevin's little brother's kind of hot."
Kevin, your brother's 18 and hot? Get the shock mic up. You're wronging it right now.
That's enough of that, all right?
I'm reading the question.
He's 19.
Okay.
And everyone needs to chill out. It's
and
weird.
He's hot.
Some weird shit.
If you want to see photos of Kevin's brother, go to the Kind of Funny subreddit. I'm sure somebody will post them for you.
Oh, no. Why would you do that?
Because there's a lot of people driving
the
car
bad
right
person.
Now. Right now, a lot of people driving the car, kids in the back seat. They're playing mobile games. They're not listening. They're like, "Man, I got to see this hot as fuck Kevin Coelho brother." You know what I mean? His glistening thighs. You know what
Jesus.
I mean? PJ, how do we pick part-timers? It's... our friends, it's the people who are talented, it's the people we want to work with. The main thing, of course, is that they can work part-time. I've seen a lot of people, as usual, shouting out the normal list of suspects of who should replace Andrea. Brian Altano! Like, Brian has a full-time fucking job at IGN and a kid, and like, you think for a second, we love you, thank you for your support on Patreon. You think I can compete with a fucking IGN salary of like 10 years or however long Brian's been there now? Get the fuck out of here. And I'm sure Perry's not going to be like, "Oh yeah, knock off. Do 3 days a week at IGN, 2 days at Kind of Funny."
All right, here's how we get that though.
We plant drugs on him, get him in trouble.
We have Pear be a guest host as well. There you go.
Well, like guest host is different. You know what I mean?
As a part-timer.
And I've thought about that too. Like, you know, obviously the biggest thing for us right now is that Fran's always been the bench in terms of when we need that third or fourth part-timer that needs to pop in, Fran pops in. So I'm sure Fran will carry more of the load here, and we'll keep looking for other people who are in the area that are like, you know, down to do more stuff. And obviously you guys, like, that's the other thing too, is I think I haven't wrapped my head around it. And it's like with Andrea, I'm pointing at her picture, with Andrea leaving and us not having a full-time when that's going to happen. Like, that's such a bridge for me to worry about later on, that when we get there, I think it'll be, is what I've already done with the up and comers, right? Of like, okay, let's bring on people that aren't getting the chance to talk more. But then I've thought about it, of like talking to you guys, GameSpot, and being like, what about, like, you know, it's Widow Wednesday, GameSpot Thursday, right? Where you send someone over or a reoccurring person over, right? And then I'll come over and do whatever to make it even.
So is Widow Wednesday what that's
canonically
Widow
Wednesday's
called?
A real thing. Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm wearing my Space Rock shirts right now.
Someone in the chat said we should just move to LA, which I refuse.
There you go. That's
it. I refuse.
It. Barrett said he refused.
I refuse.
But it's warmer at least, not foggy and
it's
cloudy.
It's just so big. It's unnecessarily big.
It's true.
Big.
It is upset. Yeah, it's going to
driving through LA.
45 minutes to get fucking anywhere.
Yep.
I'm going to have to deal with Troy Baker all the time talking to me.
Ugh.
Gah, you know what I mean? No thank you at all.
Too handsome.
Guys, it's time to squat up. This is where one of you writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. Today, Andrew needs help on Harry Potter Wizards Unite on iOS, even though I'm not sure if that matters. His Harry Potter friend code on iOS, at least, is 3191 58 82 14 77. Andrew writes in and says, "Hi, KFGD hosts. Please, could I have a squad up for Harry Potter Wizards?" He keeps saying unit. Harry Potter Wizards Unit, and I'll accept it. "I would like to increase my friends list to get the friends list achievement." Makes sense. If you want to help Andrew do that and be a Hufflepuff with him. 3191, 5882, 1477. Also, Jen and I are kicking around doing some kind of Pokemon Go, not pub crawl, but walk around Comic-Con.
How many Pokemon do you have? Do you know? Like, how's your Pokedex looking?
I got lots. You want to see?
Yeah.
They're all Porygon.
First off, don't talk shit about Porygon. You know, he's great. He's the closest.
What Pokemon type is Porygon?
Video game.
Okay.
So, like, I look in here, right? And so, like, currently, Scott Lowe sent me some gifts, guys. No big deal. I have 235 out of 300 in my Pokemon bag, you know, where I'm keeping all my guys, all right? So, if I close that, though, and then I do the Pokedex, you can see, is filled out pretty well, right? So, hold on. I've caught 222. I've seen 289. I currently have 96 in the Kanto region, 39 in the Johto, 57 in the Hoenn.
It's just Johto.
30 in the Sinnoh. And there you go. You know what I mean? Now, see, I haven't gotten the guy in the middle of Bulbasaur.
Yeah,
he hasn't evolved. I haven't done that. Now, don't spoil it for me, all right? I don't want to be spoiled here. You know what I mean? I finally started walking with a Pikachu because I don't ever want to evolve Pikachu, but I also never see Pikachu, so I need to get the candies for him, right? So I'm getting a lot of candy.
Does he hang out on your head when you walk him?
No. He's just there next to me on the thing. I don't think. I know what you're talking about. I think there's a special one or two.
I think that's what it was, because I had Eevee on my shoulder because I was walking Eevee for a while.
Sure.
Did I spoil Eevee?
No, I don't. I have Eevee. Please, right. No, let's go. You know what I mean? I'll have you know I played a good hour to 2 hours of Let's Go Eevee.
So you're a master in that, too.
No. I would not say look at how big right there. Machamp is. You seen how big Machamp is, Barrett?
Yeah, I know how big he is.
He got real big. He's 1.6 meters tall. Funny thing about meters, that's a measurement unit made up by Pokemon.
Yep.
That I've asked them before. I've gone into the settings looking for miles and like feet, and they won't convert. So just made up by them.
Have you seen those? They're like those memes, but it shows like cuddling with Jigglypuff is cute, cuddling with Machamp creepy, and it's like got this.
Yeah. I'm telling you what. Also, as I said before, I put on the cool Mewtwo outfit.
Nice.
So my Kara, looking pretty dope right now. Again, looking like a KDA member, as we talked about it. Barry, do you want to punch in? Do you want a digital zoom on this? I'll screenshot it and Slack it to you, and then we can let the show go longer. That way you can show it to people.
I can digital zoom.
No, that's all right. I'm slacking. No. Don't worry. You don't have to work hard. You don't have to work hard.
Pull it up, Greg.
No, because I want it to be high def. Right? Because it's also got the Detective Pikachu. Just for the hell of it, I'm sending it to Kinda Funny General Slack. That way everyone can see it, all right? So it's been shared right now.
I don't think anybody else cares.
Oh, you want to know? Joey is
not watching this fucking show.
But she's going to she's going to see it on the Slack and be like, you know what? Maybe I should give up on Harry Potter and I should come play this. Jen and I were so persuasive, we got Lucy playing again. Come on now.
Oh, yeah, I know. She's
come on now. Look at there. I am Game Over Greggy and Pikachu. As Lucy was quick to point out when we became friends, she's like, is that a zero in Game Over Greggy? Yes. Don't be an asshole and steal my name. You know Game Over Greggy's me on things. Do you want to know why I don't use Snapchat, everybody? Because one of you fuckers stole that too. Don't do it. All right? And if you see someone doing it, you know what to do? Slap the phone out of their hand.
Report them.
And in fact, if you think somebody's doing it, slap the phone out of their hand. In fact, whoever you see right now, slap the phone out of their hand. All right? Let's start a movement right
Better
now.
Better safe than sorry.
Exactly. Ladies and gentlemen, I have a required reading for you, believe it or not. This is something Borizin 00 wrote in about as a question, and I was confused about... Hold on. Oh, shit. Now you're fucking dead, Barrett. Hey, Joey Noel.
Record, I am watching the show.
You fucking liar. There's no way.
Love you, Joey. See, and that's what I'm saying. Bye. Joey, come join Pokemon Go with us. Harry Potter, nobody cares.
I'm busy fighting all the wizards.
No, you're not. You're just walking around like, oh, look at this hubcap. It's possessed and it's frozen by the ice dementor. And then you do that.
Yeah. And then I do my little thing and then he's free and then it's great.
Joey, when are you going to play an adult game like Pokemon Go? You know what I mean? Required reading. This is from Patrick Klepek over at Vice. Nintendo deleted a very popular Mario Maker 2 stage without explanation. This is the intro. One of the more popular, parentheses, and hardest levels in Super Mario Maker 2, a goofy, low-gravity stage called Pile of Poo, Kai Zero G, by noted streamer Grand Pooh Bear, has been deleted and can no longer be played. Its creator revealed this morning. Nintendo said the level was taken down for inappropriate and or harmful content, according to an email he shared. Quote, it contained no inappropriate words, pictures, etc., Grand Pooh Bear said on Twitter. It contained no glitches. Grand Pooh Bear went on to be like, this has happened to him in Mario Maker 1, Patrick's article went on to say Mario Maker 1, his levels were all taken down. He streamed, apparently, a conversation with Nintendo support where they were eventually like, yeah, there's no real reason for this to happen. He uploaded everything. And now this is happening in Mario Maker 2. And it's I was looking through his Twitter. He's worried about like the chilling effect of maybe he'll never make levels again because he doesn't want to put work into them to have them taken down. The going theory from Grand Pooh Bear is the fact that people are abusing the report function where it's just being reported. People are like teaming up somewhere and be like, let's report it. Everybody reports it. That's enough to auto mod it out. And so it's for Borzin writing in, thank you very much. I didn't think it was breaking news necessarily, but it's an interesting case, I thought, to put in required reading from Patrick over advice of, hey, this is like one of the downsides of user-created content and auto mods and this. I would like to imagine, based on the nothing I know other than the article I skimmed through and read at the top of here, that his popularity enough and it being reported on enough is enough that Nintendo's going to take a personal look at it, see what's up, and then hopefully be able to figure out the auto-reporting stuff.
Yeah, hopefully, especially if like one of your biggest creators is considering not making anymore because of that. Like that's going to be a big hit to the community, right?
Yeah.
And then B, like that kind of sucks. Like he's having a lot of fun, it sounds like, making these levels. And if he's not doing that because the community is downvoting him, that's a shame.
Yeah, it's just more on the internet being the internet, right?
Yeah.
It can be so good. Kind of funny, best friends.
Yeah, I was reading that article as well, and they go on to say there's someone else who is not nearly as popular, like not a streamer, had a pretty popular course got taken down. It was like Mario Storm's Area 51 because there's all this Area 51.
Oh, I know, we're doing it.
Oh, when is that?
September 20th, the same day as Link's Awakening. So I will be here playing Link's Awakening.
Well, I guess I have to be here too. Sucks. I wanted to go do it.
Yeah, it really sucks. But yeah, they weren't like anybody popular. But yeah, their course got taken down as well. And they're saying like, I've never had a like popular course in anything. So this kind of sucks and stuff like that. So yeah.
I guess you got to use that boo function with care.
Exactly.
I think that's what's called boo, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then there's a report function, I think, too.
Oh, okay.
So the boo, I don't think the it's just that, it's not just that your article sucked or your thing
just like,
sucks.
Boo is that, I don't like it, and report,
Ladies and gentlemen, we ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong and tell us what we screw up as we screwed up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe. Ill Grill Chill says, not sure if this is big enough for breaking news. It isn't, but it's about Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, which I'm excited about, so I will report.
I'm excited
Bill
too.
Roseman, Marvel Games VP and creative director, announced on Twitter that, quote, in celebration of hashtag Taco Tuesday, everyone who buys the expansion pass for Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, The Black Order, gets a bonus in-game alt color chef outfit for Deadpool.
Ew.
There's no time frame on this additional color, according to Ill Grill Chill. Interesting. There you go. We've clarified the bank stuff enough. I don't need to keep going into this. Oh, no. Okay, here we go. We don't need to. And then when you start, you think there's way more to the Pokemon issue. This is underpaid drummer that I've not read ahead on. Primarily, this is the straw that broke the camel's back. For years, Game Freak has gone one step forward and like 10 steps back for each new iteration. One excuse they used for this was focusing on quality animations. But based on the footage we've seen so far, the animations are horrible. Like really bad. There's a Chinese mobile game that ripped off Pokemon models and gave them great animations. Also, we haven't even touched the competitive Pokemon scene, which is huge. This locks out Pokemon that people have spent literally hundreds of hours training over the years for competitions. It's not just that we can't catch them all, but that Pokemon has stagnated, technically for years, and Game Freak has yet to do anything about it. There's a subculture. There is an undercurrent to these Pokemon stories that's terrifying.
So I mean, I will say that like a lot of people have been noting that like with every Pokemon game, there's something they're taking away or something that people are frustrated. And I get that. Occasionally, I'll see things and I'll be like, I kind of miss when they did this in this game or whatever. And that's always a bummer. In terms of the competitive scene, though, I'm sure someone will correct me. Get ready. I'm sure someone's going to correct me here. But
we'll sign off
I feel like
quick.
the competitive scene, they typically stick to like the same group of Pokemon. Occasionally, someone will have like, I mean, this is all I've learned just from Callie Plaguey because she's very into it. But like occasionally, there'll be a surprise Pokemon that shows up that'll surprise everyone. But a lot of times, it's like a lot of people using legendaries or certain Pokemon. Again, I might be wrong. I'm not super familiar. But from what I understand, that always kind of seemed like the case in terms of competitive.
Well, go on, Pokemon community. I don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
God bless you all. I'm excited to try the same 3 hours I do of every Pokemon game and never do it again, with the exception of Pokemon Go, which I am a master at. Porygon for life. Ill Grill Chill says there's a new date. Tetris 99 will physically release to North America on September 6th. It will include the latest DLC and a 12-month Nintendo Switch online subscription. So there you go. And then Ill Grill Chill pops in again to say, in Pokemon Go, Pikachu, like Eevee, will land on your shoulder and not your head. This can occur if you walk at least 10 kilometers as your buddy Pokemon.
Okay.
So there you go. I'm on my way to that, apparently. But there's so many other candies to get, Barrett. You know what I mean? Bear, do you not understand Pokemon? Because every time I talk about it, you shake your head as if to say, I'm the dork. When I'm saying Porygon's cool and I'm getting candy and I'm walking these guys around.
You just hurt my brain sometimes.
Let's run through the host for the rest of the week. Wednesday, it's Witta. Thursday, Andrea and Fran. Friday, Fran and Andrea. Remember, I'll be at Comic-Con Thursday and Friday. Watch, if you're there, the Hall H Marvel Games panel. 1:30 on Thursday. If you're there, want to run around Comic-Con, keep an eye on my Twitter for me and Jen going around being Pokemaniacs, which Barrett apparently doesn't like anymore. Barrett doesn't like Pokemon, it turns out. Next, he's going to tell me he doesn't like Zelda. You know? It's embarrassing over there. Jacob?
Greg.
You did great.
Thank you.
Where can people keep up with you?
They can find me at Jacob Deck on Twitter. Obviously, GameSpot.com for videos, news, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Another thing that I did want to bring up, I can't give a date because we aren't entirely sure.
You're quitting. Starting your own Patreon.
Yes. No. GameSpot starting a podcast. This is something that a lot of people have asked for a long time. Sure. Ever since, you know, like Danny had the lobby and he left and it kind of phased out after a while. And I still get, you know, people asking like, where's GameSpot's podcast? You guys should turn this into podcast form. So that is something we are working on and hopefully I'll have more to announce soon.
Cool.
That's what I got.
You did a great job. Thank you so much for listening to Beyond all those years ago and actually doing something with the words I said. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. You know where to find it. You know how to do it. We love you very much. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.